Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the midday show. We are at Champ Camp, the NovaCare Complex, 94 WIP's Champ Camp, driven by Forest River RV by Camping World, RV sales, service parts, and accessories. You hear the music there. We have an investigation we got to do in a second, but did want to give you an update on our Twitter poll question of the day. Should the Eagles become more of a passing team this season, yes or no? Right now, 61% of the audience saying no. The Twitter poll question of the day, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing that others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. At WIP Midday Show is where you can find the question on Twitter. And I'm just laughing because I look at the question from yesterday. Is calling a friend's wife ugly okay? That's a great question.
Well, see,
that's just hilarious.
Well, see, because it was taken out of context.
You said it was okay.
Well, a lot of times we do stuff that's taken out of context, and you know, people don't listen to what's being said.
Well, what's the added context to that? It's your
friend.
Well,
I said if we're friends.
Yeah,
If we're friends,
that's in the poll.
If your wife is not attractive, then I'm your friend. I can say that.
That sounds like exactly what the poll was.
No, well, it's not, but it was taken out. Because, okay, this is what happened.
You tried to add context to it, and you just reiterated what the poll was.
No,
14% of the people agree with you, too.
But see, this is what happened. Okay, so we had a caller call in yesterday. And TK, he said verbatim, I have a smoking hot wife. Now.
Aaron, yeah.
Well, I wasn't going to say his name, but
since you went there, I can't stop you.
As a friend, when you say, like, if you say beautiful, that beautiful is one thing, right?
Yes.
Smoking hot is what? Okay, what is your definition of smoking hot?
Right.
So as a friend, I need to see that. You know what I mean? If I'm your friend.
Yeah.
If you said, hey, I just met this smoking hot lady. What she look like? I don't think I'm out of line for saying that. And if you say your wife's smoking hot and we're friends, and I haven't seen your wife, I need to see what she look like.
But where
I want to see what your definition of smoking hot is.
But where'd the ugly part come into play?
Well, Kyle said, if she's ugly, would you tell him?
Uh-huh.
And I said, I probably wouldn't say anything.
No, you said it's a no, dude. Do you want me to pull up the tape? You said if it's your friend, it's okay to call your wife.
Well, if it's
ugly.
Okay, maybe. I'm not confirming or denying anything.
That's the context of the poll.
But what I'm saying, this is basically what I'm saying. If she's ugly, I probably just won't say anything.
Okay,
all right.
But you know, if I don't say anything, then you know she's ugly.
Well, I love Hugh's commitment that's not taking the L.
You know what I mean? But
it
it's like, dude. When you say smoking hot, you like curiosity kills the cat.
You want to see what
you know what I mean? If you say, "Hey man, she looks great." That's not the same level as smoking hot.
Smoking hot brings your expectations
because,
to another level.
Let me just say this, and we could keep it PC. But when you hear smoking hot, you in your mind, you have a visual of what potentially, you know what smoking hot is to you, right?
Mm-hmm, sure.
I want to see what smoking hot is to you.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's like, I know what it means to me when I hear it. I want to see what your definition of smoking hot is.
Okay. All right.
That's all.
That's fine. I just, like, you were upset about the poll lacking context.
Kyle was like, I can't believe you just asked him that. I said, well, Kyle, he said his wife was smoking hot.
Yeah.
And then it devolved into, well, what if she's ugly? And I was like, okay, if she's ugly, then you could, if we're friends, I can say she's ugly.
Yeah, well, you cannot.
You can, okay, how about you can say she all right?
No.
Why can't you say she all right?
Well, how do you say the,
like that?
She's all right.
She all right.
She's all right.
No, you say like, she all right.
All right.
I think you just avoid
that. That's not good.
She ain't smoking hot.
All right. Well, I'm sorry I was just thought it was a funny Twitter poll.
No, it's just.
Sorry I opened a can of worms here, guys.
And you know, Kyle Brow beat me about that even when we were off the show.
I really didn't. I was just hung up on the
idea of. He was disappointed.
You thinking that it's okay to comment on somebody's wife's appearance.
If we are friends.
It's really not.
If we're friends, it's okay.
Okay.
It's okay.
Okay. Yeah,
okay.
I'll give you the benefit of the doubt on this.
I won't.
I'll go down with the ship. I'll go down with you.
Well, I'm smoking crack.
There you go.
It's not true.
By the way, somebody said you and Jordan look like cell phone bar service bars standing next to each other.
Okay,
like the cell service bars at the top of cell.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. 215-592-9494. What are we investigating today, Kyle?
So, every time we have a fart on the show, first of all, it all started with the man you're sitting next to, Hugh Douglas. Is that trailer stinking up at all?
I did not fart.
It smells okay. It's a little steamy, but it smells fine.
It's a rare day for Hugh, because usually he's stinking it up in that studio when he's sitting next to Joe.
See, I ain't right.
We had this moment a while ago.
It's a luxury. That's a heel. That heel is going to stay there.
That was a fart. I mean, there's no question in my mind that was a fart. The people have spoken to. We conducted an investigation. And really, ever since then, when a fart comes to our attention, a potential fart, we have to conduct an investigation. So yesterday, or 2 days ago, it was right after the Sanchez outing, the complete game, Rob Thompson was at the podium, and I believe he was talking about Joe Ross's injury and what happened there and how they were alerted to it. Now, listen to this clip, and you guys let me know if you think Rob Thompson let one slip during this press conference. Here it is.
Okay. In between innings, actually, he just stepped in a hole or something on the mound. One of the opposing pitchers, the hole that they created.
Wait a minute, did I miss it?
I think I heard it. I think it was a fart.
It was
toward the end.
Yeah. Okay, could you run it again? That was it?
That was it. Let's play the full clip again, Kyle.
So in between innings, actually, he just stepped in a hole or something on the mound. One of the opposing pitchers, the hole that they created.
Now, being at the same time.
It's usually the pause that indicates that it might be a fart. If you
But it's not. He didn't. I don't think
it was a fart?
No.
Well, then what was it?
I think it was.
No, I don't think it was.
Think it was? A chair squeak?
So basically, you said he squeezed one out in the press conference, and you could hear it.
Well, he paused at the exact moment. That's what's incriminating about it.
Well, because that happened to me too. So I'm giving top the
best. It's a luxury. That's a heel. That heel is going to stay there.
See,
that's the most clear and obvious one. I think that one's open and shut.
Don't laugh at him about it. Don't laugh at him. It's not funny. I didn't fart.
Okay.
And I don't think Topper farted either.
So the only thing that would have been a dead giveaway was, like, the Jaguars' old general manager, Trent Baalke.
He
had
farted.
A moment at a press conference where he let one rip and then followed it with, excuse me. So I don't know if you've ever heard this one, TK.
I've never heard it.
Okay, here it is.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
He even said, excuse me. Yes. I mean, he basically just admitted it on the fly.
That might have been a burp, though.
No, that was a fart. I mean, hold on.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final.
There's not even a debate whether that's a burp or a fart. That's a fart.
You know, like, all realness, he might need to check his drawers after that. That sounds like that. That might have been something.
Doesn't Trent Baalke, doesn't he just sound like a guy who had no problem farting in public? Like, sometimes you can just tell by somebody's voice.
Some people don't.
I don't know. I feel like that's the way Baalke is. Yeah, I'm voting Topper did, Kyle.
You think he did?
I think he did. Yeah. Do you think he did?
Did he fart? No, I don't think he farted.
Don't stick up for your
fellow farter.
Gas passers.
I don't think Topper farted.
That heel is going to stay there.
I'm going to ask Scott tomorrow. That's going to be the first question.
You're going to ask Scott tomorrow?
Poor Scott, man.
Oh, man.
Don't get Scott. Scott's going to be
right. Scott gets back from vacation, and the first question he's going to face. Topper farted his press conference.
I'm starting to feel like Scott's with the shenanigans a little bit. I'm starting to feel like that. A couple times we've talked on the phone. He's I'm going to ask him. Do you think Topper, you got to play the clip for him. We can probably ask him at the end, but I'm asking him if they Topper farted.
Yeah, Scott likes the shenanigans.
Yeah, he's with it. He's with that.
There you go. So what's your official vote, Kyle?
I'm going to have to say he did.
Yeah. I think he did. So, Rob Thompson.
The squeaker.
Watch it. Yeah, it was. Rob Thompson, you're going to have to watch yourself because the midday show will always be on the. Kyle, are you just monitoring?
We on fart alert
all the time.
We on fart alert.
Like for any sort of fart noises you can find.
Sure, or just anything.
We are all about the shenanigans here.
Swallow it, and eat it.
Yeah, we into all the little childish, Idiosyncrasies and stuff like that.
I support it. 215-592.
Well, we do too.
9494 if you want to get in. Rob Thompson, guilty. As John Johnson
guilty.
Guilty. That's great.
Listen, I love me. Sound a little zesty on that one, though. That was zesty. That was zesty. I can say zesty, can't I?
Yeah, you can.
Zesty's okay.
So.
Is zesty okay, Kyle?
I think so.
He's not responding,
so I'm going to say fine.
Yeah, we're going to leave it that one alone.
Yeah.
we won't go with that. We won't touch that one no more.
215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Violet in Virginia. What's up, Violet?
All right, let me try this again.
Hey, much better Violet. Now, Violet. What's going on?
Hi, guys. I'm so sorry about that.
Oh, don't worry about it. Only one got an attitude is Kyle. We're good. Me and TK.
Yeah. Kyle, don't let Kyle bully you. It's all right.
I want to get in on both things, the Phillies and the Eagles. So for the Eagles, I don't think they have to change anything, but I think they will willingly. We're still going to run the ball, but I think the league has not seen anything yet. It is going to be the Jalen, Devontae, and AJ show.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, Violet. Part of the reason why I do think they should throw the ball more is I think they can throw the ball more. You know, I don't think this is something
definitely.
Where, like, I think with you know, some of the misconceptions about the offense and throwing the ball more, I don't think this is anything to, like, prove critics wrong or have Jalen ranked higher. I personally don't care about that kind of stuff. I just think when you look at this offense, I think they could be more explosive. I think you have two of the best receivers in football. And, hey, I mean, Jalen Hurts showed in the two biggest games of the year he's capable of doing it. If he's capable of doing it and defenses are stacking the box more, take advantage of it.
And then for the Phillies, you know, I know this is going to sound weird. I know they had a 5-0 lead, but they hung in there, and that was a pretty ballsy, you know, showing last night. You know, could have just laid down and died, and they didn't. I'm sorry about that. Was I allowed to say that?
Yeah, you said it. It's cool.
No, that's fine. You're good, Violet.
I mean, look, it took guts, you know. And Lizardo, I'm a little nervous. I feel bad because, my gosh, when he first came out, you know, he came out on fire. But and I agree. You know, let's see what Nola has when he comes back, and let's put Lizardo, you know, in the bullpen. I mean.
I agree with
you. You know, I don't see anything wrong with that.
I don't see nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, no, I don't either, Violet. Appreciate the call. Yeah, it seems like that's the way it's headed. And it was an entertaining game last night.
It was exciting. It was just unfortunate that it went south rather quickly.
Yeah.
South quickly.
You have a 5-0 lead. You got to win that game.
Yeah, it feels that way.
And the offense fought back, but, you know, not enough late in that game. And, I mean, this is the thing too about we talk about trade deadline additions and how the roster is going to shape out even in games like that. Like you see a guy like Seth Johnson in the 11th inning, Seth Johnson in a week, he can't be on this roster anymore. Mm. You know, you just got to be able to move everybody down like a spot or two in terms of how much you need to rely upon them. You know, Lazar comes out, thought did a decent job again last night, gave up the one run, but you only give up one. That's kind of your job in extra innings. You just make sure you don't give up.
You don't do too much damage. You keep the damage to a minimum.
Right. You give up one run with the runner on second base. That's typically good enough. But, yeah, the back end of that bullpen, the Seth Johnsons of the world, those guys you just can't rely on in any kind of big spot. Let's go to Corey in Delaware. What's up, Corey?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to chime in on the Eagles talk and whether or not we should be running more or not. Hughes, 100% right. This is actually something that I've been thinking about for the last couple of years because I've noticed that defense has been getting lighter, especially up front and in the linebacker area. So I started looking before I called in, and I started looking at a couple of the stats here. Of this top six rushing leaders in the NFL, five of them are over 220 pounds. Like these guys, I don't think these defenses can actually hold up against, you know, power running backs that can actually move. And the top two were Saquon and Derrick Henry, 234 pounds and 247 pounds. I just don't think these defenses are really equipped to handle it.
Yeah, and I mean, that's certainly a difficult thing for defenses to do. I mean, tackling Saquon, tackling Derrick Henry, it's really tough. I do think, though, Corey, that with an off season, I mean, these coaches are really smart. These coordinators do a lot of work, and I just think they're going to look at games like the Super Bowl, and they're going to find a way to limit it. I don't think they're going to shut Saquon down by any means, but I think it's going to be more difficult for the Eagles to run the ball than it was last year.
Sure, and I have a couple more quick points, if you don't mind. So, like the Rams, right? Last year, the Rams, the Eagles played them in November, and Saquon carried the ball 26 times, ran it for 225 yards and 2 touchdowns. They played him again in the playoffs, and you would think that they would do the same exact thing and load up the box and gear up for it, which, by the way, I feel like loading up the box has more home run potential for a running back. But in January, when they played him in the playoffs, 26 carries, 205 yards, and 2 touchdowns again. They just can't stop it. And then I think people are not giving Saquon enough credit for how he's going to play this year, right? So 66% of his rushing yards, they were all, you know, yards before contact. 1,300 yards came before contact. And you got to also factor in that with the fact that the Eagles have the tush-push, he's not having to throw his body in the line of scrimmage on the goal line, on 1 yard gains, 2 yard gains, where it's like, you know, fourth and one, third and one. He doesn't take that unnecessary contact. If you think back to last year, most of his runs were home runs. They were just, if you think back, it's just, he wasn't touched in a lot of these runs. I think he's actually going to be a little more fresh than a lot of people think.
Well, I hope that's the case, Corey, and appreciate the call. And I mean, I would hope that's true, but Q, I mean, history would tell you, like, any running back who has the kind of workload that Saquon had last season, it's just hard to bounce back and carry the ball like that again. It's really hard to take that level of punishment.
Yeah, I mean, but he didn't get hit a lot, but you do worry about his health, and I think that the thing that you do, he works out like a beast. He looks like he's in great shape. You try to give him a little bit of a respite, and that's why you go out and you get the running back in the offseason. You got the young guy from Clemson, can't think of his name right now.
Will Shipley.
And you start trying to work those guys in. If you find a formula where you can have three or four running backs back there and Saquon is the lead back and, you know, you spell him a little bit, he can still be effective. This running game could still be effective. And not only that, man, it adds another dimension to your offense. I don't know what it is, but when you change those running backs and you have two different contrasting styles of running backs, that's hard to defend. Because, you know, I remember being in a week where, who was it? Steven Davis was the running back for the Commodores.
Yep.
And I remember the game plan was geared to stop him that week. And we did that for the most part until they put that damn Brian Mitchell and with his old ass in the game, with all due respect. Because when Brian came into the game, his running style gave us fits because he was more of a, you know, he wasn't that fast, but he had vision, and he could catch the ball out of the backfield. And he was so small, man, that, you know, when you're going against a bigger running back, it's an easier target. But when you got a smaller guy back there, that you have to work to get past the offensive line and then pinpoint where he is. Brian did a great job of following his lead blockers and making it difficult for you to tee off on him. So that's potentially what it could bring to the table. You can still have an effective running game if you get some of those other running backs to come in and contribute and take some of that pressure off of Saquon, because it changes the tempo of the game.
And I think that's something the Eagles are going to need to do a little bit this year. Yeah. I mean, I just don't think – and I know Saquon is a freak of nature physically. I mean, without question. I just don't think he can hold up to that same level of punishment. And I think you do need to now that you're beyond last year, you want Saquon Barkley for the next few years. Like, mm-hmm. You don't want to burn him out. You don't want to run him into the ground. And I'm not saying, you know, you don't use him a lot, but I do think this year you need to pick your spots a little more. Like, I think you need to have weeks this year where you say, okay, well, we're going to dial back Saquon a little bit. We're not going to have him touch the ball 25, 30 times a game, because I think you can maybe get away with it 1 year, but history just shows multiple seasons when guys have workloads like that, even for the most, you know, physically imposing running backs, it's just hard to be able to stand up to that year over year.
I mean, it's not too many stories you hear of running backs of that caliber going back-to-back like that.
No.
You know, I think AP had a year where he – I forgot what it was. He rushed for like 2,000, but he came back and he still had a decent year, but it wasn't what he had that 2,000-yard year.
Yeah, it's really hard to do. Yeah. Let's go to Cowboy Jim. What's up, Jim?
Slow day today at WIP when there's no Cowboy news.
Oh. Well, right? Has your owner said something stupid today yet?
Michael Parson.
He never.
Michael. You called him Michael.
He's a moron, okay? You can admit that, right?
He's not a moron. I don't know where you come up with that stuff.
He came out and he ripped his best player the other day for no reason.
It's all part of the negotiation. It's all part of the negotiation, okay?
He's a bad negotiator.
That's bad.
It's going to be a Herschel Walker trade.
You got to stop with that.
A bunch of guys.
You want to trade? So you think he's playing? He's like playing chess because he's going to trade his best player.
Trade Michael Parsons.
He's pretty smart. He's a pretty smart dude having to deal with billions of dollars and all these players and all these other things going on. So don't sit there and say he's an idiot.
How smart can he be, Jim? He hasn't been in the championship game in 30 years.
Dude, you're digging yourself a bigger hole with the whole hot women stuff. So you just need to just back off a little bit, okay?
They don't understand. I stand firm. I stand 10 toes down on this, Jim. They don't get it. It's okay. It has to be a cultural thing.
You're single. You're around a bunch of married guys with kids. You know, they know. They understand.
No,
Kyle's not married with kids. What are you talking about?
No, nope. Kyle's not married. Well, not yet, anyway.
Like hey, don't you hate this? I hate seeing Aaron from San Diego implode like this. Isn't it sad? It's something that Dirty Harry said in Magnum Force. Man's got to know his limitations. And it's time, Aaron, to move on. Go find somebody else to call and bother.
What do you do? What did Aaron do?
Yeah, what's your problem with Aaron?
He's an idiot. Why do you put up with him? Why do you put him on all the time?
Well, we can say the same about you, Jim. Why do we put you on all the time?
Hey, Kyle, what are you doing with these screeners? Who are you screening? You had one good call, and that was Olive Garden Way today.
I put you through.
He said Olive Garden Way.
You better watch your tongue, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
The call on call of crime has gotten out of hand.
I'll tell you what. It is truly an unbelievable phenomenon, this Aaron versus Jim rivalry. Because after each
everybody.
Of them calls, I want to side with the other one. But, like I can't stand either of them.
But Aaron's become a pretty big target, though, because Chris in Middletown was taking shots at him earlier today, too.
Spike came after Aaron yesterday in the afternoon show as well.
Yep.
And you know what? Me and Aaron are friends because he did send me a picture of his wife.
He did?
He did.
And?
All right.
He did all right for himself.
Okay.
And before you ask, since we are friends, I can't put his business out there. He sent it to me as a friend.
Oh, he sent it directly
but he did,
to
yeah,
you?
Yeah, he sent it directly. He did all right for himself. I'm not going to lie. You know I ain't going to lie. He did all right for himself.
Okay.
He did all right.
All right. Well, are you
salute?
Are you an Aaron supporter now? Are you an Aaron's?
No. You know what? Since we're here, I'm surprised. I mean, you know, it's one of those things.
That's not
Aaron,
nice,
Aaron. I love you, but you know, I mean, we see you. Like it's one of them things where you know you'd be like, damn, how you pull that off? You know what? But he ain't alone because you know D Gunn, right? Derek Gunn.
Uh huh. Yeah, of course.
He did the same thing. He outkicked his coverage.
Okay.
Just saying, love you, D Gunn, right. But you. You outkicked your coverage, dog. You know you did.
Nobody can insult like you, Douglas. Saying. I'll tell you what.
I mean, D-Gun know he outkicked his coverage, dog. You know he know he ugly. D-Gun know he ugly.
I don't believe that. I think Derek Gunn's a very handsome man.
D-Gun know he ugly.
That's you talking,
when
Derek.
He met his wife, he outkicked his coverage. Because D-Gun had hair. He had the little afro. Wife had an afro. D-Gun is an ugly dude. He outkicked his coverage. Love him to death, though.
Don't agree. 215-592-9494. One final segment to get your calls in. You people coming up at 1:45. Very excited for that. Plus, I got to hear apparently a wild phone call to this show yesterday that I need to hear. So we'll do that when we get back. Get to your calls as well. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show. Live from the NovaCare Complex, Sports Radio 94 WIP.